There is a moment before revelation, the soft trembling before the veil lifts. Semele stands in the twilight of her chamber. The air is heavy with the scent of cedar and rain. She's heard his voice. She's felt the thunder in her dreams. Zeus has come to her, not as a storm, but as a lover, clothed in shadow and lightning. But tonight her heart burns for certainty. "Show me," she whispers. "Show me as you truly are." And so he does. The air splits open with blinding fire. What mortal eyes cannot bear, she beholds for a heartbeat. Divinity unveiled. The world dissolves into radiance. When the thunder fades, only ashes and an unborn god remain. From her immolation, Dionysus is born. From her yearning, revelation. And from her death, divine life. The story of Semele, daughter of Cadmus and Harmonia, comes to us through the oldest poets of Greece, a mortal woman whose love and vision brought her face to face with the god of lightning himself. Hesiod tells us plainly, "And Semele, daughter of Cadmus, bore him, or Zeus, a glorious son, Dionysus, the joy of mortals, having lain with him in love, and he set him in his own thigh and brought him to birth from himself, to be numbered among the immortals." Apollodorus records the fuller narrative. He says, "When Hera learned of it, she came to Semele disguised as an old woman and persuaded her to ask Zeus to show himself as he did to his queen. Bound by oath, Zeus appeared in his majesty, and Semele was consumed by lightning. Zeus took the unborn child, sewed him into his thigh, and when the time came, he gave birth to Dionysus." Pindar and the Homeric hymns likewise attest to the pattern: a mortal woman, a fatal theophany, and a god born from the crucible of fire. And Ovid, from Metamorphoses, he preserves the drama and the pathos of the scene. These texts give us the skeleton of the myth, but to understand Semele fully, we must attend to what the fire means and how ashes become altar. Semele's death by divine radiance is paradoxical. The very light that annihilates her body becomes the womb for Dionysus. This is not mere literary cruelty. It is a mythic image of initiation through transfiguration. The lightning is revelation in its rawest forms. It severs illusion, it strips away mediated appearances, and lays bare the source. Mortality cannot endure that naked intensity. Yet something of the mortal remains, a seed of divinity that's carried forward. Pindar puts it elliptically. He says the following: "Once Semele's life was blasted by the fire of Zeus, but the god rescued her child and brought him to the chambers of Olympus. There he made him one of the immortals." Semele is, in effect, the threshold. Her flesh is the altar upon which divine life is sacrificed and renewed. Semele and Thyone are not two separate women, but they're two stages of the same soul's passage. Semele names her mortal condition, birth, desire, and vulnerability, while Thyone names her post-transformation identity, inspiration, frenzy, consecration. Understanding this transformation requires attention to mythic process, ritual logic, and symbolic language. I'm going to explain how Semele becomes Thyone, or the goddess Thyone, through apotheosis. Apotheosis comes from the Greek word apotheos, which means to become God. And this is rarely a lone event. It's a process enacted by community through ritual and narrative. After Semele's death, the stories told of her, they don't end, they evolve. Dionysus, who's carrying both grief and devotion, returns to honor and to vindicate. In Euripides' Bacchae, the god declares his mission, to reveal who he is and to restore his mother's honor. Through cult and praise, the people and the god himself reframe Semele's fate as sacrificial gateway rather than mere victimhood. This communal retelling is the soil in which apotheosis takes root. In many mystery traditions, symbolic death is the necessary prelude to rebirth. Semele's literal death is the mythic image of that rite. Her encounter with the divine burns away the ego, the mask, and all dependent identity. From that annihilation emerges a new mode of being that belongs to the gods, not as repudiation of human life, but as its consummation in a higher cycle. When Dionysus elevates his mother to Olympus and she becomes Dione, the transformation signals that the human has undergone sacred initiation sufficient to partake in immortality. Names and myth perform ontological work. To receive a new name is to be re-patterned into a new destiny. The name Thyone, related to the word to burn or to sacrifice or theo, it's not accidental. It preserves the memory of the fire as sacred, reframing annihilation as sacrament. The mortal Semele becomes Thyone, the inspired or the sacrificially transfigured. This linguistic rebirth anchors a spiritual shift. Her former limits are transmuted into a divine function, the bearer of frenzy, inspiration, and the regenerative power of sacred ecstasy. Semele's apotheosis is enacted by her son. Dionysus is both proof and agent of her sanctification. He embodies the liminal energy that crosses mortal or divine boundaries, and by restoring his mother to Olympus, he completes an economy of reciprocity. Divine offspring repay human devotion by restoring humanity's access to immortality. This is not mere familial sentiment. Mythologically, the child functions as a mediator who carries the human into the sacred order. Semele's story also encodes an ancient theological claim. Direct vision of the divine is perilous. The god's essence, when unfiltered, is ontologically different from human modes of perception. Apotheosis, therefore, is not casual seeing. It's a controlled, ritualized transfiguration where the human is prepared or reconstituted to bear the god's light. In Semele's case, the preparation is retroactive. She burns in the moment of truth, and later, through Dionysian rites and through mythic rehabilitation, she is retroactively reconstituted as Thyone, capable of dwelling in that same light. Psychologically, Semele's burning models the classical ego death of mystical traditions. Mystics across cultures speak of being consumed by the divine presence, stripped of ordinary identity, and reborn into a larger field of consciousness. Thyone then becomes the mythical personification of that transformed consciousness, still possessing a narrative identity, but fundamentally reoriented toward the divine matrix. It is crucial to read Semele not as a passive victim, but as active liminal agent. Her desire to see is often framed as curiosity or even folly, but mythic readings can interpret it as courageous aspiration. The transformation reframes surrender, not as defeat, but as the highest act of knowing, the bravery to let the small self go so the greater self may be born. Vayani's status as goddess celebrates that daring by giving voice through cult and poetic memory to a feminine potency that is both receptive and world-shaping. So in sum, Semele becoming Vayani is not a cosmetic renaming. It's an existential reweaving where mortal desire, ritual memory, filial redemption, and mythic theology converge to transform human mortality into divine participation. The pathway, therefore, is incandescent, dangerous, but in mythic imagination, it's also the ultimate pathway to the sacred. Euripides' Bacchae, it dramatizes more than revenge. It stages a rite of revisioning. The god returns to claim both his place and his mother's name. The play's ecstatic rites and theophanic scenes, they recall initiation practices. The madness, the frenzy, and the communal surrender that coagulate into a permanent cult, a living memory that keeps Thyone among the gods. As Walter Odo notes, Semele's burning expresses the paradox of Dionysian life. Life born from death, joy from ruin, immortality from the ashes of desire. The myth becomes functional cult. It justified rites that sacramentally enacted death to life, grief to ecstasy, and human limitation to divine expansion. Semele Thyone offers an archetype, dangerous and radiant, the feminine who receives the god and becomes the altar of transformation. She's not merely the mother of a god. She is the sacramental threshold through which divine power flows into the world. Her story informs the many myths in which women are the mediators of divine life, not passive containers, but active initiatory presences. Now, if you can, take a deep breath and close your eyes. Imagine the chamber where Semele once stood. It's twilight, rain on stone, the low murmur of distant thunder. You feel a light rise within your chest. It's not merely knowledge. It's the fire of revelation. Now inhale and feel that light kindle. Exhale and allow fear to soften. And say softly to yourself, I am willing to be consumed by truth so that truth may be born in me. Let that phrase sink in. Know that burning and birth are in some sacred economies the same movement.